and say you're mine.
We're back with more of Lake Effect on WUWM. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. We first talked with writer Cynthia Swanson a few years ago when her debut novel, The Bookseller, was published. It went on to become an award-winning New York Times bestseller. The book took place in the Denver of the early 1960s, a time in history Swanson finds fascinating.
So it's no surprise that her latest book, The Glass Forest, is also set in that era, although its settings are New York and in Door County, Wisconsin. The book is just out, and Swanson will be at Boswell Book Company on Thursday, but she joins us ahead of time by Skype and explains why this era captures her imagination.
You know, I think a lot of it is just the social fabric was so interesting and all of the changes that were going on. There was just enormous social changes going on all over the country for women, especially. Women's lives were changing so much. And I find that fascinating. And especially now where you look at kind of the social climate that we have going on in our times. And I feel like we're going through a lot of changes now, too. And so there's some parallels, and there's some places where we can learn from history what we want to do differently and the mistakes that we don't want to repeat.
And you've embodied these changes in a couple of really interesting characters. There's the younger character of Angie, and then there's also, I won't even call her middle-aged because she's not even quite that old, but the character of Celia, who is somewhat of an anomaly in this time frame. She's a working woman.
Right, and a businesswoman, and, you know, very prosperous, so not just working outside the home, but really supporting her family.
And wanting to. I mean, yeah. It's driven by some things that are happening in her home, but also it's part of who she wants to be.
Absolutely, yeah. She's 38 years old at the time of the story, so not middle-aged quite. But at that time, having gone through her life, went to college and began a career because of circumstances with her family, and her husband ends up raising their daughter. So it's a very, very different kind of family situation than a lot of people have. But it ends up, yeah, evolving into really what she wants in a lot of ways as far as her lifestyle. I think when she's younger, it's a quandary for her. She feels like she wants to be home and raise babies, and it just doesn't turn out that way. But then she finds some power in who she becomes.
Yeah, I really liked her. And there was this interesting kind of, she's Finnish by heritage. And so there's, you bring in a lot of that expatriate community in New York. This happens to be in Brooklyn at the time. And the kinds of things she was both raised in, but also leaving behind.
Yeah, it was really interesting researching that Finnish heritage for her. I really kind of came across it by accident. I needed her to be from Brooklyn. I needed her to be a second generation American and have some ethnicity, but I didn't want her to be, for reasons of the story, I didn't want her to be Jewish and I didn't want her to be Catholic. And that turned out to actually be a really tall order to find a good heritage for her. But I sort of discovered these Finnish socialists in Brooklyn, and it was just this small pocket community of people, but it was very, very active in the socialist movement in the early part of the 20th century, and it worked perfectly for her character and for the character of her mother and for how her family structure came together and who she became. So it was just one of those pieces that really fell into place nicely.
Well, it was so interesting to read because I knew nothing about them, you know, and I thought, wow. And it's one of those, as you say, these little pocket stories that there's all over the place, but you just don't know. And it added such a rich texture to the entire story, because one of the things, you know, mentioned the socialist background, one of the things that is in conflict here is that idea of capitalism versus communism and socialism. And
correct.
And it's both a background noise in the novel, but it's also almost a protagonist, too.
Yeah, it's very present for all of the characters in the way that their lives are structured and what goes on and how their lives change. Again, it comes back to that why that 50s, 60s time period is so interesting to me, because there was so much of that kind of change going on. And people were threatened by certain ways that people, that other people felt about lifestyles and how they wanted to live and what they wanted the country to look like. Some people felt very threatened by that, and I found that very interesting as well.
Well, of course, you know, Wisconsin being the home of McCarthy and the witch hunts and all of that sort of stuff, which by the time this book has taken place, they are more or less over.
Right.
But we're, you know, the country is still living with that legacy. And of course, one of the protagonists of the book is from Wisconsin and Door County.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. Yeah, Angie. Angie is 21 years old, and she is from Bailey's Harbor, born and raised there. I got asked this by my Wisconsin family, you know, why did you pick Door County and Bailey's Harbor for her hometown? And we have family friends who have a place on North Bay, so we've spent a lot of time there, my family and I have. And I needed her to be not just from a small town, but I really wanted her to be from somewhere really idyllic. So it had to be a Wisconsin place that had a strong sense of place that people in the Midwest would recognize, oh, Door County, who doesn't love Door County? And feel like, okay, she got to go and leave and she thought she was having this great adventure, but really she spends most of the novel wanting to get back there. And really, who wouldn't, right?
Well, except when you're 21, you know, if even if you grew up in paradise, you want to leave it.
Sure. She thought she did. She wanted to go see what the world looked like. She got to go to New York and she thought that was pretty exciting at first. And then she realizes how much she misses home.
She grows up a lot in this book. And so even though she wants to go back and eventually does, I don't think we're giving anything away by saying that she does eventually head back, but she is forever changed.
Right.
And brings that change with her, even though we don't know yet at the end of the book, we don't know how that might manifest in her life going forward.
I think with my books, I've realized something that with my themes all start with C-O-N. In The Bookseller, I feel like it, contentment was the theme. And in this book, I feel like confidence is the theme. And especially for Angie, that's something that she develops over time. She doesn't really have that when she starts out. And then as she goes through this experience, she really finds out who she is and grows a lot in her confidence in herself.
Well, and you talk about confidence, and another protagonist in the book is Ruby, who is a teenager when we meet her, and is, what is this? She's a niece, right? She's Angie's niece.
She's Angie's niece, yes.
Right. And right. She has a confidence that sort of belies her years.
Correct. Yes. She has a confidence that is like no one else that you will ever meet. She's a mystery, and she's supposed to be a mystery. It's intentional. Although we do hear narration through her viewpoint, there's always an underlying sense that Ruby's not even telling us everything as readers. Whereas Angie and Celia really pretty much lay it out for us over time. But with Ruby, we kind of feel like maybe she's holding back and we only find out what Ruby wants to tell us. And that's that sort of innate confidence that she's always had. She just had it as intuition more than anything, I think.
We've talked about the three main female characters. We haven't talked about the male characters, and they are equally as important and drive the story in their own ways, but they are very different, and you've drawn them all very differently, starting with the two brothers, and then, of course, then there's Dr. Shepherd.
So the two brothers, it's Henry and Paul, and they are less than a year apart in age. They look almost exactly alike, but they're very different in demeanor. Paul is the younger brother, and he's charming, and he is a ladies' man, and he kind of knows how to sort of win the hearts of everybody around him, and that's Angie's husband, and he's 17 years older than Angie. So she meets him. He shows up out of nowhere in Door County and starts bartending at Gordon Lodge, and that's where they meet, and these painting on the side, and she just becomes captivated by him, and they get married and have a baby, and she feels like she's found her perfect match.
She's won the lotto. Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, she got like the guy that no one else in her hometown got, so she just feels like this is it. I won. And then there's Henry, and Henry is married to Celia. They marry very young. They meet during World War II when he's on leave in New York City, and they have a whirlwind romance and get married, and then he ships out. And she's left and she's pregnant with Ruby. And he comes back several years later from the war. And it's clear that he has suffered some trauma when he's there, although he won't talk about what happened. You know, these days he would be identified and diagnosed with PTSD. But back then that didn't happen very often for too many returning GIs. And so he really suffers mentally and he closes down a lot. So he becomes somebody, again, and maybe that's a little bit where Ruby gets that too, is from maybe that's the nurture part, is she watches him close down and she knows that he just doesn't give away very many pieces of himself. And that's how he lives, and that's who he becomes.
Obviously, the book is a thriller and kind of a mystery, and we find out most things at the end. There's still a few little things left up in the air. Were you just trying to take us on a really interesting ride there, or was there something else that you want us to take away from this book?
I think it's a little bit of both. It's a thriller, and the way that I've heard it described by several people who reviewed it so far is that it's a character-driven thriller. And I think that is important as a distinction, in that I feel like if we're going to have a thriller, I love that being on the edge of your seat and having that suspense in a story. But I also really want that to be driven by who the people are. I want to know about their motivations. It's not a whodunit, it's a whydunit. So it's not a mystery. It's not like, oh, you know, did the butler do it? It's, well, what drove these people to end up where they did? How did we end up getting this to happen? And so those pieces unfold really slowly in kind of a slow burn situation. And that was intentional. I didn't want to write a book that followed all the formulas of a regular mystery. It has some of those elements, but I really wanted to explore the personalities and the characters of all of these different people that are involved in the story.
Did you know when you first started where it was going to end up, or did that kind of reveal itself to you as you went along?
I had a little bit of a sense, but because it's such a plot-driven story, I had to work really carefully to make sure all those pieces fell into place. And when I started writing it, I was writing it. It alternates or varies in chapter between Celia and Ruby and Angie. And I started writing it that way. And then I realized partway through that first draft that I really had to get Celia's story down, because Celia's the one who gives us the background. And she's missing, so we're sort of getting these stories of the history from this missing woman as the story progresses. And I needed to know her whole story before I could tell the current story happening in 1960, which is we're getting through the viewpoint of Angie and Ruby. So I had to really pull together a lot of pieces. I learned a lot writing this book. It really stretched me as a writer. It's very different from The Bookseller, and the process of writing it was very, very different from writing The Bookseller.
Interesting that you say that from your perspective. From mine as a reader, yes, they are very different books, but there's also a voice through them that I recognize as yours. And I think it's that care of character, that care of why these people, because I felt the same way in The Bookseller. I cared about what happened to these people.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
I wanted, it's not just like, oh, they were cogs in a wheel and everything kind of came out. I really wanted to know, and some things, you know, that happen in the glass forest, I think, oh, really? Darn it. or oh, really? Wow. That's really cool. You know,
right.
Because I wasn't really expecting that, and I had gotten invested in
right.
who these people were. And so I would say, maybe that's what ties the books together, is that care, that authorial care.
Most definitely. And that goes back to wanting to write character-driven stories. And in a lot of ways, it was the same with The Bookseller, is that, you know, something happened and it's a woman caught between a dream life and a real life. Well, that's cool, but what's the why? Why would that happen to somebody? How could a person get in that situation? And that's what unfolds in The Bookseller, in the same way that this one is a thriller and we've got a mysteriously missing woman and a guy who's committed suicide, and then a group of characters who have to deal with the fallout. Well, why? What happened? Why did he commit suicide? Why is she missing? Why did she run away? How did this all come together? And that all has to do with those characters and those personalities and making sure everybody is doing what would make sense for that particular character.
Do you have any idea? I know this has just been published, but I mean, there are some loose ends here. Do you think that there might be future books with other characters?
I don't know. We'll see. I tend to like my stories to finish up. So hopefully this one finished up relatively satisfyingly. I know that there could be places where they might get revisited, or maybe they'll make a cameo in another book.
Well, Well, you and I both know exactly the character we're talking about, and I'm not going to say more than that, but I think that would be a really wonderful cameo or possibly another book. So, Cynthia Swanson, it has been great talking with you. I am so looking forward to our conversation on the 15th at Boswell Book Company, but until then, safe travels.
Thank you so much, Bonnie. It's been a pleasure.
Wisconsin native Cynthia Swanson's latest book is called The Glass Forest. She'll talk about it in conversation with Bonnie North on Thursday evening at Boswell Book Company, and you'll find links to more information about the book and the event at WUWM.com.
How it thrills me so.